Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
And that is how we are kicking off the WAAF Workday Blitz 2 today. We are now commercial free for the rest of the show. It's Mistress Carrie and the man, the myth, the legend, Perry Mr. Farrell. Perry. He just walked into the WAAF studio. Why don't you tell everybody who is here with you? Because, of course, you are headlining two nights back-to-back at the City Winery Boston tonight and tomorrow night.
Yes. So I have my guitar accompanist, Nick Mayberry from Australia and Los
Welcome.
Angeles. And to my right is my lovely chanteuse and wife, Etty Lau Farrell.
The way the two of you talk about each other, I saw a tweet that you put up yesterday with the skyline of Boston, and you were looking forward to walk around the city.
Yeah.
You guys are very romantic. You're always romancing her, and it's been 15 years?
We've been married for 17 years.
17 years. Wow.
But we're serious for 20.
Close to 20, yeah.
But we're chasing for 22.
You're not chasing for 22.
What happens after 22?
I mean, chasing for two of the 22. I just chased her.
It was not close. It was close to 2 years, but it wasn't two. It was like a year and 9 months or something.
Well, it's not bad to be
chased.
That's
bad enough. That's bad enough.
Yeah. So you are at the City Winery Boston tonight and tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You're very lucky that you are not playing a show on Wednesday because you were a block from the TD Garden. And if Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals was happening the same night as your show.
Oh, forget it.
It would be crazy.
So it's not.
It's not.
You just gave us
And you guys just won.
Yes, we won Game 6. So Game 7 is for all the marbles.
Awesome. Yeah. Here.
We actually came in thinking the game was on Tuesday, and we were thinking, oh, we should be the official
after party. No,
oh
we
my
should
God.
Be the not serious after party of the fans of the
Boston Bruins. Yeah, it's. I think City Winery Boston would have exploded if everyone from the Garden tried to cram themselves in there. Right. But it's literally a block away, so you dodged the bullet by a day. But you're in Boston at a great time because the weather's beautiful and everybody's happy because of the Bruins.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And entertainment and sports is in the air.
Yes, it's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, it's really good.
So the first thing you wanted to do is you're going to hang out and you guys are going to kind of co-host the Workday Blitz and we're going to talk, but you wanted to play first.
Well, I did only because my voice is kind of warm right now and we've been rehearsing, so, you know. We go in loops, us musicians, kind of like gets it in our memory, and we just get better at it, and then we start to have fun with it. So let's give it a rip.
Yeah, so what are you guys going to play first? What are you going to play for us?
All right.
That was fantastic. Perry Farrell, acoustic here in the WAAF studio. Your voice, we are having a pollen Armageddon in Boston. Do you think that's part of the challenge as a singer coming up to this part of the country at this time? Because it's everywhere.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I don't know about pollen Armageddon. Probably it is.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Allergies are all congested. But, eyes are itchy.
There's a lot of phlegm everywhere.
Yeah, man. It is crazy. I love to travel. We love to travel. But as you travel, the temperature and the climate and the environment is constantly changing. And, you know, you might have allergic reactions or just a body temperature reaction. Like, I hear stories that Aretha Franklin would send somebody into a room before she walked in and ask what the temperature was. She would say, like, stick your arm in the room and let me know if it's too cold.
because of her vocal cords.
Yeah.
Well, when you're Aretha Franklin, you can do that.
Right.
When you have those vocal cords, you can do that. You're Aretha.
You're Aretha.
When you don't even need
Perry
a last
Farrell,
name.
And I'm telling you, man, I want somebody to stick their arm in there. That's why I carry, that's why I'm always wearing something around my throat, you know?
Yeah, because you always, you, first of all, your fashion sense, you're always accessorized so well, but it's always been part of your image, whether it be in Jane's Addiction or whatever, is that you've never been one of those people that just went up on stage, like, not caring about, like, it's a whole thing.
I care a lot.
Yeah, about everything.
Yeah, that's the old, who wrote that song? We care a lot about, Faith No More.
Who's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did they ever play one of the Lollapaloozas?
I think they did.
Because I was going through all of the Lollapalooza tour, and I'm just going to list some of the artists that either were launched on Lollapalooza or were on Lollapalooza in their hey, the list is impressive.
Thanks.
Living Color, Nine Inch Nails, The Rollins Band, Butthole Surfers, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Ice Cube, Primus, George Clinton, Stone Temple Pilots, Cypress Hill, Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Beastie Boys, Green Day, Hole, Incubus, Audioslave, Metallica, The Ramones, Tool, Snoop Dogg, and Prodigy, just to name a few.
And George Clinton.
And, well, I mean... I met him.
Porno for Pirates.
I mean, they kind of had an in because they kind of knew the guy that started the tour.
Yeah, but you know what? You would think it'd be that simple, but I got to fight like a salmon.
Well, if you're going to get up on stage with your band and compete with the amazing artists that you put up on that stage, you got to earn your spot no matter
who you are. That's
right.
That's right. I don't take the position lightly. I gear up my whole entire life to put it into the presentation, the beautiful presentation.
I met George Clinton one time before I was a DJ on the radio. I used to do lights and build stages for concerts. And I met him and he shook my hand and he licked the back of it and said, "I'm just a dog for you, baby." And I was like, oh my God, that's a hell of a way to say hello. It was one of the most amazing 5 seconds. I was like, George Clinton just licked my hand.
That's a good line.
Right,
isn't it?
Right? I'm just a dog for you, baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fantastic. But the artists in Lollapalooza as a tour.
They invented the term funk.
They seriously did. Guys like the Red Hot Chili Peppers would never even exist if it wasn't for George Clinton.
Well, they would, but.
In a different capacity.
Some of their good slants they surely wouldn't have had, that's for sure.
And Lollapalooza went from being a tour that you... Wasn't it supposed to be the farewell of Jane's Addiction? Did I read that it was going to be your farewell tour?
It was supposed to be, yes.
And then it didn't really work out that well as a farewell.
Life is not perfect. It would have been perfect if Jane's wouldn't have had to break up. There you go. But they did for that time. We got Lollapalooza out of it. And I got my friends back, most of them anyway.
And now Lollapalooza's taken over. How many cities are there internationally now? Is it 10?
Seven.
Seven?
Uh-oh. You're a prophet. You're a prophet.
Why? Are you expanding?
We would love 10.
We would love 10.
But we're going into our seventh country, Stockholm, in June.
No way. Really?
You know where I'd like to go?
Boston.
You know, dear, I would love to bring it back to America, too. But that's a very, very big, deep discussion.
Well, just with the struggles they're having with Woodstock right now, and just putting on a show of that magnitude is a lot of work.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of politics.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. And then...
And lawyers now.
And then you throw in God.
Well, depending on where you go, in New England, at any given time, you could get snow, tornadoes, hail, 110-degree weather. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get here.
Right. In this case, today, it was absolutely beautiful, and I insist on going for a walk.
Yeah, where did you guys go when you were walking around the city?
We didn't get a chance to because we got late last night. But I'm here for two more days.
So where do you look for? You've been in Boston and come through town many times on many different tours.
But
where do you look forward to going when you come into town?
Okay, so this sounds really bad, but I'll admit that most of the time I have been in a hotel room, stuck in a hotel room. I haven't really had a great chance to go, other than like I go to a restaurant, a really great restaurant, eat, and then you're so spent, you have to equate, you know, you have to figure out, factor how much energy you're going to have for that stage. So, but this year's different.
But last night we went to, I forgot the name of the place.
Old Town.
The Oyster House.
Oh, the Union Oyster House.
I didn't realize that building had so much history in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like going into a museum and having a great meal at the same time. So that,
yeah, that
it's
was
a very
great.
Old place. And then right next door is the Green Dragon,
which
is where they planned the revolution.
See, that
stuff they met in secret.
That.
Yeah, it's all
that.
Right there. That's a really
that.
Great Incredible. Part of Boston. For anybody that doesn't know where the City Winery Boston is, it's in that whole
really?
Walking
so
distance.
So I can walk there.
Absolutely.
That's our
so
walk.
Maybe after a sound check, we can
there
take
you
a
go.
Walk.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Walk the Freedom Trail a little bit, the red bricks that are in the sidewalk
yeah.
take you on Paul Revere's ride. And it
no
goes by
way.
The Green Dragon, goes right by the Union Oyster House where you were. There's all of Faneuil Hall is right down there. Right. There's a beautiful Holocaust memorial that are those modern glass towers outside the Union Oyster House where you were.
Yeah.
Just
oh,
that part
that.
Of Boston is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. You'll have a good time. We probably shouldn't tell people where you're going to be walking. Because they'll
you know,
come and find you.
I know everybody says that, but I always think to myself, nothing bad's going to happen.
It's really interesting to me that the artists, just last week, Duff McKagan and Shooter Jennings were at the same venue you're at tonight. And they, yeah, he's fantastic.
And Shooter as well.
Yeah, they're both great. Yeah. And they wanted to go walk through the Boston Commons, and they did that. And they just walked around. They got sandwiches and were handing them out to homeless people they met along the way.
Oh.
And they just had this fantastic walk, and nobody bothered them. And they just kind of walked around, and they loved it.
Yeah.
Well, what's your trick of walking around?
My trick of walking around is the first thing is I don't make too big of a... I know I dress kind of fancy.
You kind of can tell you're a rock star, Perry Farrell. Just a little bit.
All right, but hear me out. I give people the respect in their mind that they'll know if they see me and they would be delighted that they would say to themselves, I'm just happy... I'm seeing this person I admire or like him, but I can tell that he'd rather be talking to his sweetheart.
Yeah, staring into her eyes lovingly right now.
Yeah, and that's how I think it should be. I don't have a big guy around me because that draws even more heat, and then it becomes even more of an emotional engagement in your mind. Like, what's going on here? You know? So that's it. I think that, I mean, you look outside of Boston and how it is the greatest achievements of mankind, their mind, their architecture, their ideas, their principles. It's all here in Boston.
There's a lot of history, art, sciences.
People are so sophisticated and so conscious that they would know, oh, man, I know that I should probably just let the man take in. Be peripheral.
We're,
take it in.
We're
you know?
Wicked smart, as we call it
yeah.
here.
And I
so that's
think
my trick.
You also have a trick of if you're respectful to people, then they're kind and respectful
yes.
back to you. So you
yes.
treat them with kindness first.
Yeah, and I learned a trick from this man. He's a very, very, very wise man. And he lived to be 90s. And he had boundless energy. And so what he would say is, look, I'm alive. I'm alive. I could be doing this or I could be doing that. That's how you kind of look at it. If someone comes up and says hello, right then and there, I'm saying hello back. You know what I mean? I don't get mad about it because I know that I can always say, it's great to meet you. Ask what their name is. That was kind.
Well, you know when it comes out of love because they love you, your art. And they're coming from a great, genuine place where they're a fan of what you've created.
Yeah. And they're giving me kind energy. I'll give them kind energy back. And then I think that's equal energy exchange. And that was, and it was, everybody wins.
Is that the platform and kind of the foundation of where Kind Heaven comes from? Because it's not just a musical project for you. I met you a few months ago in Vegas when you were talking about Kind Heaven and your opening. Can you talk about what it is that you're building in Vegas? Because I drove by the building and was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What is Kind Heaven?
Yeah. Well, Kind Heaven is a, it is, it's, you know, you can call it a bumper sticker, you can call it a concept, you can call it a community. It's really complex. So what I'm calling the building in Las Vegas is an immersive entertainment complex. That gives me the ability to have ideal sound in the walls. I could throw sounds, like binaural sounds specifically at you. Can have incredible sound experiences. And then I can bring in dancers and, you know, improvisational dancers, actors, improvisational actors, orchestras, food, dining, and dancing. So that's what it is. All added up, it is the cutting edge of technology. We're 5 years ahead of the curve of what people's listening and sound experience is going to be. But you'll get to hear it and see it and experience it next year.
The way that I kind of, I mean, you spoke at length about the concept and some of the technology that's behind it, because this is all state-of-the-art technology, like you always are, is kind of pushing the boundaries of what's happening and what's possible.
Yeah, I love dub. I love dub and synthesize, going with soulful musicians and analog instruments going along with electronics. That's what we are today. We work with electronics. But
there's a certain sound to that old analog stuff.
Well, it's the human being. It's the human. You're hearing a soul that might have a rough morning on his voice.
A soul with pollen in his throat.
But you dig that, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what, like, when I think to compose and arrange and orchestrate, I don't, and what's amazing about it, so I'll tell you a little bit more about the record. The recording is actually the score for the Immersive Entertainment Complex and the community. We have a message. It's a good message. The message diluted down to one word would be kindness. And then it ties itself to a very, very old prophecy of a returning Messiah and what the times would be like. What the world would be like and what would happen at that time.
Well, I want to play one of the other songs that is the soundtrack to it. I want to play the single. So I got Perry Farrell here in the WAF studio. This is the new song from the album Pirate Punk Politician. That's new Perry Farrell, Pirate Punk Politician. Perry Farrell joining me in the WAF studio. Perry Farrell, of course, from Jane's Addiction and Porno for Pyros. The list of project names that you've worked under is quite long. It's like you reinvent yourself every few years. You got a different project name. You're doing something different. And so this is the Kind Heaven Orchestra that's touring with you at the City Winery Boston tonight and tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
So the way that I took the Kind Heaven concept away after you described it was that it sounds like a way for people to experience music with all their senses. Is that fair to say?
You know, it is entertainment, first and foremost, And there's no better way to entertain people than to make music.
I agree.
I mean, you can watch a play or watch people talking. That's pretty cool. But the human being, when they're at their most elated state, is when music is going into their ears, causing them to dance and sing.
Well, you get a different perspective because you're the one making the music up on the stage. So you're just looking at all of us in the audience having this amazing time. What is that like especially when you play those big, giant festival shows and you look out and there's 100,000 people out there? What is that like for you? I imagine it to be overwhelming.
Nobody is thinking this is where I belong.
I do enjoy it. I do like to go out there and see a sea of people, because it's amazing to see 100,000 people all focusing on one thing.
And it's
and
you.
Then reacting to it.
Yeah.
And reacting to it.
So how
and
is it?
And now we become like together a fabric. The band and the audience becomes the same fabric. You know, it's like we're a magic carpet.
How does that change for you when you play a place like the City Winery that is so intimate, where the people can be right up with you? You can hear them breathe. They're right there.
Well, I particularly love it right now because I love a person being at arm's length away from me, watching me and listening to me sing right into their eyes. I just think that that is something that is would be a very rare experience for people. And I just feel like I want to be intimate and show them how great we are this close.
Yeah.
And then it, only so many people can will ever have seen it, because, you know, it will get bigger.
Right.
But for right now, it's for the people that are like super informed, you know what I mean, that know about it.
It's a really
it's
cool venue,
it's just coming out,
too.
But I'm letting it be organic. I'm not coming in as, you know, up here, Jane's Addiction, Lollapalooza. I'm coming in like I came in with Jane's Addiction.
You're a new band.
I'm a new band.
Yeah.
So I'm playing these intimate settings, and we're getting a chance to work things out as well, right?
Right. So by the time we get to Stockholm in front of 50,000, everything irons out. But in the meanwhile, you do enjoy it. You get a personal emotional connection with your audience, and that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I like the first band full of people. I mean, I could sit there and sing to the same, like, 15 people.
Well, you just sat here and sung to eight of us, and we were all watching.
Yeah. But then sometimes I forget, and then I start to, like, sing to the back. But I just kind of, it turns into a lot of fun. You can imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're seeing people and they're starting to get silly, downright silly.
If my voice didn't sound like death, I would, you know, if I could sing, I would. But this thing, I ain't singing nothing.
But you could dance and then you can sing along.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But you sound so good on the radio.
Oh,
I think different
you.
People have different voices made for different things. And I think you know.
This is all I can do with it.
You know what? I like your voice a lot.
I
think
do
it's
too.
A perfect radio
Thank
voice.
Thank you. Yeah. I want to talk to you about your musical influences, because you and I share the love of the Beatles.
Mm. Yeah.
And I want to talk, like, that to me is the soundtrack of my childhood, because it's the music that I was introduced to as a kid. And,
me
you know,
too.
Not understanding the lyrics or the messages, I just thought it was cool that there was a yellow submarine and a walrus and whatever, because
really?
You're a little kid, you don't know. But now I look back and I see the genius in that, and I don't understand it when someone says, nah, the Beatles are okay. I'm like, what? That's exactly right. So talk to me about your love of some of these influences like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles that really made you the artist you are.
Well, the most impressive thing, what I was most impressed, the impression it left on me was that these guys took the sound of music so serious. They got together, they really listened to try to write great songs, you know, and they were first, this is when first electronics was first coming on. Remember, the Beatles didn't even have monitor system at Shea Stadium. They were trying to sing through a crowd with no monitors.
They didn't even have a PA
screaming.
System loud enough to drown out the girls.
Right.
It's crazy
so,
to think that
so
now.
So how far we've come. So we've started to work with microphones and everything else. And but I, when I think of the Beatles, I'm trying to infuse a little bit of Beatles in the Kind Heaven Orchestra in the way of doing residencies. So that's part of the reasons why we're doing residencies. It's an homage to the Beatles when they did the residencies in Berlin, the clubs that they would do there, and they honed their craft, and they were in front of people, and they created a scene, because people do, they want a great occasion to pack into and be a part of. It's just got to be a great occasion.
I want to talk to you about the Rolling Stones, too, because Mick Jagger is like the Iron Man of rock and roll.
Yeah.
He gets a valve replaced in his heart, and he's going to be playing at Gillette Stadium in a couple of weeks.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
And I bring it up because Jane's Addiction covered my favorite Rolling Stones song, and I want to play it.
Okay.
So Perry Farrell's here in the WAF studio. My favorite Rolling Stones song covered by Jane's Addiction, Sympathy of the Devil. Absolutely love that version of that song. It's my favorite Rolling Stones song, and for Jane's Addiction to cover it, Perry Farrell here in the WAF studio. What made you cover that song?
So my buddy is a biker movie producer. He produced this television show, The Sons of Anarchy. And it was their final episode, and he asked if I would sing it. So I
you did
told
a great.
Him,
I love
him,
it,
John. Yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it.
Can you say no when a friend asks you to do something like that?
No,
you really can't.
Not a friend.
And because you're a fan of the Rolling Stones, Eddie, we were just talking when the song started. We were talking about Mick Jagger having this surgery that really sent shockwaves through the rock and roll, because we were all afraid that something was horrible with Mick. And then you see a few weeks later that he's dancing in a dance studio.
Right.
And you were saying, oh, they didn't even crack his chest open.
No, like, they snake it through the veins now. Yes.
That's how they replaced his valve?
I don't know if that's how they did it. But nowadays, for the past year or so, that's been the standard procedure, is they cut a little, they put an incision in your leg and it snakes it up a major artery and it floats it into a heart and it plugs right in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean he's rather that, getting on the, in his ears. I mean, if he had gotten his chest open, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't be back touring a month later.
Yeah. I heard the same thing, that my father had triple heart bypass surgery. I had run away from home, and I heard that he had a terrible heart attack. 2.5 years after I left home, I came back. I walked into the hospital to see him, and he wouldn't let me see him laying in a hospital bed. He made them sit him up. So he had all these tubes running out of his heart, his arms. And I come walking into the hospital room, and he goes, "Hey, Pat, how you doing?" My dad
thick
was
as,
tough
you're from Brooklyn,
as shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that where you guys were from?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And now it's amazing that they that the technology is such a way that, you know, you can even.
So then our manager just had heart surgery.
The same thing.
Same thing. We freaked out, called him up, and he's laughing. I'm going, he's laughing. I'm talking to him on the phone.
He's going crazy.
He's not.
Is he high on the meds?
No, she thought he's gonna die because he's a really big guy. You guys all know Pete Katsas.
Yeah,
he's 6'7".
Yeah,
he's
Peter Katsas. I mean, he's been a manager of artists like Korn, and he managed Limp Bizkit too. He's been around the block when it comes to rock and roll forever.
And to Britney, to Jen,
right
across the spectrum. Yeah,
he doesn't manage Kind Heaven, but he manages Janes.
But he was a long time. I mean, you've known him forever.
Yeah. Know, I mean, the reason I chose Pete to be our manager is because every time we would show up someplace cool, Pete would be there. So I figured, well, we might as well, you know, talk business if we're always seeing each other.
Is this with the very beginning of Jane's Addiction?
No, it was after. It was it was for
10, I think, or 11. No.
We did that Miami New Year's show.
That was 1999 going to 2000.
That was it.
Yeah, millennium.
Yeah,
yes.
Millennium.
Because I wanted to ask you about the start of Jane's and what L.A. was like in the like mid-'80s. I asked Duff McKagan the same thing, because he was like, when Guns N' Roses came out, there was nothing kind of like it that had that seedy underbelly kind of thing. So that's Jane's true. Addiction was another one of those bands that there was nothing else like it. What was L.A. like at that time?
You know, I kind of, it's hard for me to talk about, because on one hand, you know, you're talking about vice and it's not good for children, you know. But at the same time, it's very exciting and makes for great stories. And great stories make for great songs.
Well, it was a powder keg of kind of energy and creativity at that time.
Yeah, and drugs.
Yeah, a lot of drugs.
And political, militant unrest, you know, like the cops in the streets and beating up, and gangs were growing up, and you had a huge heroin problem and cocaine problem. Then it turned into crack.
Yeah, L.A., I mean, you see something like Motley Crue's Netflix movie, The Dirt, and it touched on that a little bit, just like the dark side of L.A. at the time and where all of these bands kind of came from.
And so, and you imagine that, and you remember that movie was about being up in Laurel Canyon and the guy, Eddie,
Wonderland.
I mean, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You go to somebody's house and you just, there's creepy people, weird people, and then people that want something from you, and that, you know, giving you drugs, and you're like really digging in.
I think that's just you.
Yeah.
You're asking me what it was like.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what it was like.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you're doing that and you're hearing about this band, that band. We would hear about bands and we'd go and see bands we'd never even heard of. Sometimes hear about, oh, my friend's now in this new band. There's bands everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, a little bit of a battle, you know, of a climb to get to the top. You know, some bands you're like, oh, those guys are such wussies, man. Those guys, you know, like I got in fist fights with other bands, a couple of different bands.
Is anybody we would know?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah, probably.
Are you going to play some of your older, people are texting in on the text line at 97107.
Yeah.
Are you going to play songs from your whole catalog and career at these shows at the City Winery?
Yeah, not the entire whole, but yeah, I'm going back.
There's a healthy dose of Jane's and Porno, I have to say.
Yeah, Jane's and Porno.
Good healthy dose, yes.
And we could keep going. Like that song, we could do that song sometime. We have an area where we do covers.
Oh, awesome.
Right now we're doing an Iggy cover.
Which one?
I got it right.
Nice.
It's so like topical, you know, current event.
I have a song that I want to play for you because when you came in, we were talking about jazz and your affinity for jazz, but older jazz. And I asked you, do you know the actor Jeff Goldblum? Because he's quite an accomplished jazz pianist. This is for you. somebody made music out of Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Make the track, or somebody made the track?
Somebody made it on the internet,
with his voice.
Yeah, with his voice.
He's got a sexy voice.
Because you and I share, I take a lot of crap, but you and I share the nerd crush of Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Definitely, yes.
So I'm not
sexy.
I'm not the only one.
Nope, you're certainly not.
Okay.
Others must think that for him to get hired for the job of being the guy in Jurassic 5.
Park.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
Yeah. That's when Perry gets jealous. He messes up with their name.
Is that how you know?
He does. Jeff Goldblum, that Jeff Goldust. What's his name?
I found what makes him flappable. It's Jeff Goldblum. He's kryptonite to Superman.
Did he play Superman too?
No, no. So you're not going to the movies to see all the Marvel movies. You're not you're not like the blockbuster guy to go to the movies a lot. That doesn't seem like something you'd be into.
I know who Jeff Goldblum is.
See what I mean?
Oh my God, I absolutely love it. On the text line, somebody texted in and said that The Ritual is still one of their most favorite albums. They still listen to it 3 times a week. They just think it's a piece of art, and they wanted me to just tell you how much of a fan they are of that album and how much they love it.
I really like that when, people will... I get insight into how I affected them in such a delightful way. It's very hard to do, so I really do appreciate what is it? The applause.
Well, is it amazing to you that your career has spanned this long? I mean, we're talking about artists like...
The accolades. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Pat on the back. I appreciate it. Because, you know, I really think about, first you have to be totally great to start with. And then you have to figure a way to get that song or that message out? How do you distribute that? And there's a whole, you know, army that goes into doing that. And that's half the struggle. The first half of it, no, I'd say, no, it really has to be like 75%. You've got to be great. You really have to be great.
And you're talking about artists like in the garage. They just from the jump, they got
to
be.
From the jump.
Yeah.
When you're ready to let the world know, hey, I have something to say, you just got to make sure that it's great. It can't be hyped up with all this other stuff. And then you've got to make sure that you go out like an army. And when it comes time to do battle, you're all healthy. It's like being on a sport team. It really is. I akin modern sports to modern entertainment and modern musicianship. You know, your best guy, but now he's got something wrong, Achilles heel.
Or a broken jaw like Zdeno Chara from the Bruins.
He's no.
Playing. His jaw's wired shut, still playing. Game 7 on Wednesday, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, doesn't.
I will bet somebody's put a needle to his face. I would ask for a needle.
Yeah, playing with a broken jaw, total yeah. Badass.
Yeah, that's okay. See, but this is the thing. You pay as you go, or sometimes you have to pay in advance, or sometimes you pay later. And these artists, as well as these sports people, a lot of them pay later. They're walking around crippled.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it takes a beating on your body. Have you been hurt?
Yeah.
Or are you? Yeah, from all the years of touring and performing?
I have torn my stomach lining.
Hernia.
Three operations.
No way.
I've torn my stomach lining, bearing down, hitting the notes. That's the start.
Have you? That's just the start?
That's just the start of it. I've broke my ankle. I broke my coccyx. I've broken all the knuckles in both my hands.
But that's from hitting somebody.
That was a fight.
Well, you're in the right town for sports analogies and for medical treatment. So if anything happens to you, we've got the best hospitals in the world right here in Boston. So for the next couple days while you're in town, if anything breaks,
yeah.
We got you covered.
Oh, no, I got a rock doc coming. I got a rock doc coming.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, you're good to go. Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. Seriously, you guys are awesome.
It's fun to see you.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
Please come back anytime. When does Kind Heaven open in Vegas?
Around now, next year.
Next year.
I keep saying around now, next year, every time anybody asks me.
So I'm recording this right now, so are you lying to me, or are you sure?
I'm not sure,
oh, okay.
But I'm not lying.
All right, well, you can go to WAF.com, go to the concert page. Perry Farrell and the Kind Heaven Orchestra at the City Winery Boston tonight and tomorrow night.
Right, and the Not Seriously after party for the fans of the Boston Bruins.
Yes.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's the prequel because Wednesday night at the Garden, it's going down.
It's on.
That's
it's
right.
On.
And then just in case you were wondering, Jeff Goldblum will be in town at the end of the month.
Really?
Yes.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.